our status and our privileges as a chance to give and serve. You see, service is not a means to get power. Service is power. We don't climb the ladder of sacrifice and then kick it out from underneath us. We do not humble ourselves to the top and then act like a worldly tyrant once we get there. In the church, the very essence of power is kind modesty. A true influence amongst Jesus' people is a gentle type of leadership. Now this is, of course, completely counterintuitive, completely opposite to everything that the world believes. But in Christ, the way up is actually to start by going down. The first step in every gospel partnership is to follow Paul and Jesus and to become a slave. If you want respect, you need to first become friends with the person who has no chance of advancing your career. If you want to spark a revival at school or on campus, first become lab partners with the one nobody else wants to partner with. If you want to be a leader here in the church, start by cleaning the toilets. Christians and the church grow not because we use power like the world, because we humble ourselves and serve like Jesus did. Again, we see this three-way partnership in verse 3. I thank my God in all remembrance of you. Paul gives thanks to God for the Philippians. The ESV translates it like that. I thank my God in all remembrance of you. But maybe one of you has a Christian Standard Bible. It translates it like this. For your every remembrance of me. So who's praying here? Is Paul praying for the Philippians? Or are the Philippians praying for Paul? Well, actually, in the original text, it's intentionally ambiguous. The way it's originally written can mean both. It can mean Paul praying for the Philippians or the Philippians praying for Paul. And I think he writes it that way absolutely on purpose. He's trying to say that our partnership is so deep, it has literally become part of the grammar of this passage. Their prayers are so intertwined, Paul can't even tell the difference between them anymore. And then, did you pick up on the extent of the partnership language as I was reading? Listen to verses 3 and 4 again. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Actually, we need to bring it out a little bit more. A lot of those verbs are actually plural verbs, so if we bring it out, it sounds like this. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you all. Always, in every prayer of mine, for all of you all. This is the entire church Paul is praying for. He is constantly in their prayers, and they are all constantly in his. And why does it seem like Paul is just so passionate, he's so fired up about this shared prayer amongst them? Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That translation there that the ESV has of partnership is spot on. It's a great translation. Sometimes, it's not a bad translation, but sometimes others will have fellowship. And it's not bad, but I think just in the church, we use fellowship to mean, you know, coffee and donuts and small talk. And that is not what Paul is talking about here. Those are good. The Bible says that sort of thing is good, but that's not what the Bible means by partnership or fellowship. Partnership is working together for a mutually sacrificing with each other for a shared purpose. Working together and mutually sacrificing for a shared purpose. That's what Paul's talking about. It's often used in the ancient world in the context of business. We still think about partnership kind of like that today. Think of an attorney or a business firm. So instead of the law office of William and Jones, what Paul is setting up here is the gospel firm of Jesus, Paul, and the Philippians. And we have to remember, it is that three-way partnership. And Jesus is not just the senior partner, he is the driving force. Verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What is this good work that God began that Paul believes Jesus is going to complete? I think it's just what we read. It's the gospel partnership that Paul and the Philippians have with each other. Again, Christ is the senior partner of this firm. He started it. He founded it in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And he guarantees its completion when he returns. Paul is thankful that he and the Philippians get to be included in what Jesus is doing. Now, as I'm reading this, I think I can probably hear the Philippians downplaying their contribution. No, Paul, we're not that big of a deal. We're just praying for you. Don't kind of make us out to be more than we actually are. And Paul will have none of it. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul's saying we are equal ministry partners in this shared love that we have in Christ. And actually, we have another one of those intentionally ambiguous phrases here. Again, the ESV translates it as, I hold you in my heart. And if you've ever read the New Revised Standard Version, it will say, you hold me in your heart. So again, which one is it? Both. Paul intentionally wrote it that way. Again, this is a double meaning on purpose. Both hold each other in their hearts. There's so much love, there's so much partnership between Paul and the Philippians, he can't tell where one ends and the other begins. And this mutual affection means that the Philippians are sharing in Paul's experiences as he goes about the Greek and Roman world planting churches. The mutual affection means that they are there together. That's what he says in verse 7. You are all partakers with me of grace. And again, partakers is just that same word we saw before for partners. He's literally saying, you are all partners with me in God's grace. Again, what is this grace? What is the gift that they share? Look at the second half of verse 7. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul's writing the letter of Philippians while he is sitting in jail. And he says, you are here with me. You were there with me when I was in the last town preaching the gospel. We are doing this together. And what's the craziest part of all this is Paul says, that's actually a grace. It's a gift from Jesus that I'm in prison. It's a gift from Jesus that you are suffering with me. This is because when you humble yourself, like Paul and Jesus do, when you suffer together, you actually become more like a servant-hearted Lord that we have. You become more of a partner in Christ. This three-way partnership keeps coming back up. One more time here in verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. God witnesses, Paul yearns for the Philippians. But then there's that phrase at the end that's kind of strange. Paul yearns with the affection of Christ Jesus. I think that's kind of a weird way to say it. Paul does not love the Philippians with his own love. He loves the Philippians with Christ's love for them. By being a partner with the Philippians, somehow Paul is experiencing Jesus' own love for his people. This means if you want to know just a little bit, on a human level, what it's like to be Jesus, if you want to share in Jesus' love for his people, join him and his church in his gospel partnership. Now, if you've ever been a partner in any sort of company or anything else like that, you'll know that one of the things a partner cannot be is a consumer. You have to serve the company. You have to serve the firm, not yourself. But there always is a benefit from your growing stake in the business's success. How you invest helps it grow, and then you receive it on the back end. How does our investment in this partnership grow with Jesus? Look at verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Again, this is another prayer from Paul here. First, he thanks God for their partnership. Now he's asking God for their love to grow. And he wants it to grow in knowledge and all discernment. That's how deep this love is. The Philippians are growing their investment as they invest more and more in the partnership. They get more and more back. And I think Paul doesn't just mean this in a sentimental, kind of touchy-feely sort of way. This is not just money. He's not saying, hey guys, just pass the plate one more time. Paul genuinely wants their input into his ministry. This is a long-term investment that he's looking at here. He wants compound growth for them. Again, the first half of verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That's what the gospel partnership leads to. It leads to them receiving the benefit back of a greater and deeper love like Jesus's. Loving like Jesus grows investment more and more. It says, so that they will be able to approve what is excellent. Another way to say that would be to understand what really matters, or to learn how to love appropriately. You become a better partner the more you invest. If we can put all of this together, the gospel partnership changes us in the future, but also right now. You get to feel Jesus' love for others. That love grows your understanding and your knowledge. And then that understanding and knowledge changes your priorities. The partnership creates better and more Jesus-like love in all of us. That's the short-term return, but there's an even better eternal return on investment in chapter 10. I'm sorry, verse 10. Listen to it again. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This growth in love is not just changing your understanding, it changes you from the very inside out. As you partner with Christ, you become more and more like him. You become pure and blameless. That is what Christ-likeness is. And then that eternal change then comes out of you, and it flows out of you as well. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul then describes here the Christian life that flows from a deeper love for Jesus as fruit, just as Pastor Dylan showed us in Proverbs. The sharing of Christ's love makes the Philippians into a good tree. And good trees produce good fruit. Whenever I read this verse, I think of the entire Philippian church as a tree whose branches are bending low. Because there's so much fruit, there's so many apples that are on the edges of the tree that the branches are leaning down towards the ground, and you can just go and pick it right off because they're so heavy with fruit. But even that is not the ultimate final goal of the gospel partnership. There's one more thing. The second half of verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. From beginning to end, Paul and the Philippians' partnership in the gospel is a work of God. Jesus began it, Jesus will bring it to completion, and all of the glory for it will ultimately go to God, and that is the purpose of the entire partnership from the beginning. So we might ask ourselves then, if that's true, if this whole thing is just a work of God and we're just kind of part of it, why is Paul praying so much? This entire passage is just one long prayer. Did you notice here that each section starts with prayer and ends with prayer? Why is he doing this? If God's the only one who's actually at work, why is Paul always praying that God would do this? God's just going to do it. Well, notice at the end of each section, it includes God accomplishing the thing that Paul is praying for. Paul prays for partnership with the Philippians, and God assures that its completion will happen at the day of Christ. Paul prays that their love will abound more and more, and it ends with gospel fruit and God getting glory and praise. You see, prayer is one of the means that God uses to accomplish his plan. Prayer is another way that we partner with God. This whole passage is really Paul just asking God to display his glory through his partnership with the Philippians so that they can praise God for doing it. So why should we pray if God's the one who's doing it all? Because our prayers are God's tools to accomplish his plan. When you pray as a partner in the gospel, you are sharing your priorities with God. Now, I don't know about you, but my prayers are often too dominated by personal requests. But if you look at the Bible, biblical prayers are overflowing with praise and thanksgiving, and spiritual requests. Notice how Paul prays here in Philippians 1. He thanks God. He praises him for the Philippians' effective ministry. And then his request is not even focused on himself, but on the growth of the gospel. Remember, Paul is sitting in prison. He doesn't say, God, please get me out of here. He asks first that the Philippians would grow in their love for God. I think we can follow Paul's example and embrace his model of prayer here. This doesn't mean we should ever neglect praying for our sick cousin or for our out-of-work neighbor. Definitely include those things. But include them maybe in an even more biblical form of prayer. Start with God's praise. Continually prioritize our growth in Christ. And end it with a zeal for Christ's glory. Now, I for one am thankful for Procter & Gamble that they made their partnership work. I need Vicks Vapor Rub to get through the winter. I'm grateful for Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniacki as well. I know almost nothing about computers. That's why I use a Mac. And if you don't love Ben & Jerry's, you need to try Cherry Garcia or Chunky Monkey, and it will change your life. But even more, when I see a gospel partnership growing the church and strengthening our communities, that is something I am far more thankful for, and hopefully I will praise God and thank Him for it in my prayers more and more often. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for what Your Son has done, and we thank You that You have included us in that work, that You use our prayers, You use our work, You use the lives that we are living to bring more and more people into Your kingdom. You use our love for each other to display and adorn the gospel for our neighbors. Lord, we are so grateful to be part of that work, first as recipients of it, and then partners in Your work with Your apostles and with Your people in sending it out to the nations. Lord, we ask that You would make our hearts more thankful for it, that how we talk about Christ, that how we think about Christ each day would be more and more like Paul's and Jesus's, with a servant heart, wanting to receive Your great gifts and pass them along to others so that more and more people might bring You the ultimate glory. We pray this in Your Son's name and by His Spirit. Amen.